This is Here and Know, a podcast about our discipleship as young adults and how we can better hear the Lord and know He's working in our lives. So glad you're here.
Heather, I'll just have you introduce yourself.
Okay. Hello, my name is Heather Hobbs, and I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah. Go to Utah Valley University, and Liberty and I have been friends for a little bit now, and she's amazing. I'm so happy to be here.
From the day I met Heather, she is just a spiritual giant and super cool. So I'm really excited for our conversation today and to see where this goes. Especially right now, I think a lot of people in our community, at school, are really just struggling and wondering maybe what the Lord is trying to teach them or what He wants us to learn, or maybe questioning how He feels about us right now. Mm-hmm. And I thought these questions would kind of spark a good conversation. And so these are the three questions that I want to focus on today. The first, all three of these are questions that the Lord asks to us. And He says, "Whom say ye that I am? What would ye that I should do for you? And third, know ye what I've done to you?" And so that first reference is in Matthew 16:15. It says, "Whom say ye that I am?" And so, Heather, I just want to ask you kind of right off the bat, who do you say that Christ is to you because of your experiences that you've had with Him?
Yeah, as I was thinking about this question throughout today, the main thing that came to my mind, and just my thoughts, is that Jesus Christ is my Christ and Savior, and He's my consistent Savior. And I thought of that because through a lot of my experiences throughout my life, I just feel like I can always turn to Him and He's always there, like always. And I recently had an experience, like just the other week, I was just kind of like going through some stuff, thinking about stuff, you know, and I felt like I wasn't, I guess, like quote unquote, being like a good like I wasn't like reading my scriptures. I wasn't like praying as heartedly, intently, you know, and I was feeling kind of like, oh man, like maybe doing better. And I was like staying up late and stuff. And then one day I was like praying and I was just like thinking, and I had spent some time reading some scriptures. And as I was doing so, I just felt like I was just like sitting there and just kind of pondering and meditating. And I just felt the Savior just like come to me and tell me like, "Hey, Heather, like I'm always here, no matter what you do, whatever, like I'm always here, like I'm standing right here next to you, and nothing you can do is going to push me away." And that just like really touched my heart, and I just felt it like so tangible too, like I felt like just in my, as I was like sitting there and thinking about this and like feeling these things and thinking these things, I feel like the Spirit talks to us through understanding, and sometimes it's not as much just like clear, sometimes it's not clear words, sometimes it is clear words. But in this experience, to me, it was like just this like understanding. I just feel like I just like saw this image of just the Savior like sitting next to me and just like saying that and just being like, "I'm always here." And I just like felt it so tangible and so gentle and so kind, and that through my experiences, that's who I say He is.
I love that. I think that's so beautiful. And I love that it wasn't in a moment where you like did everything perfectly, right? Mm-hmm. Like you had that moment with Him in a time where like your spirit or soul or whatever you're in to connect with Him. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes I feel like I have to be super good to earn those experiences, but it's not like that.
It's so true. I feel like there's like kind of that sometimes that thought process of just being like, "Oh, I have to like do this and this and this X, Y, and Z," but like, no, like He's always there. Yeah. Any given moment.
Yeah, I was talking to a mentor today, and I was talking to him about the purpose of life, mm-hmm. and like, what is the purpose of life? And my answer was to love and to be loved. And I think be loved primarily by God. But we were chatting and I was kind of thinking on some of the things he was saying. And he said that God's whole desire and goal and like wish for me is not perfection, is not exact obedience, is not like holiness, although he would love those things for me. He said it was unity. Mm. And I have been thinking about that a lot today, just that God's desire, God's number one priority with me as his daughter is to be unified.
It kind of makes me think of something that's been on my mind also recently, and that is what we are anointed and, yeah, like anointed and blessed and washed to become. Mm. And that is like queens and kings in his kingdom. And so it just makes me think like he wants that unity for us so that when that time comes, like we're it's not that like we're familiar with him, but it's just that, like, he's wanting that unity for us just for when that time comes.
Right,
like, he's
it's not unnatural.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, we're to become more, and so that's why he, like, wants to commune and counsel and be one with us.
Right. And I think in this example, he could have said, sit down and listen, and I'm going to tell you who I am. But no, it's who do you say that I am? Like, through your experience, through the love that I've shown you, through the moments that we've shared, who do you know me to be? I think that's cool that he allows us to kind of figure it out for ourselves.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a little bit more meaningful that way, too.
It is. By our own experience. Ooh, there's this quote I love. One of my favorite books. And I'm sure there's like variations of this quote, but basically it says, I hear and I forget, I see and I remember, I do and I understand.
Hmm.
And I think that's kind of goes along with what, you know, like if he were to just tell us, we would like forget, you know. If we were to see it, we would remember. But like when we actually experience it and be like, this is who I say you are from my experiences, it's like we understand it.
Yeah. Well, even your answer to that first question was from an experience,
mm-hmm.
from a shared moment, which I think is cool. I think like knowing who he is to you and knowing kind of your background and your relationship with him, what do you think are some of kind of the fruits that have come into your life because of your knowledge and understanding of who the Savior is?
I would say the biggest is joy.
Mm-hmm.
In my younger youth, right, I wasn't like, I didn't really have a strong testimony, didn't really like do the things I should have been doing. I just like remember one day coming home, I think this was like my senior year or something, and I'd been like really working to just like be closer to my Father in heaven and to Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and like even to myself. And I remember just like coming home and it just like, I literally remember opening the door, hearing the screen door slam behind because it was broken at my house that I grew up and it slammed and I shut the door and my bag on the ground. And I was about to like go up the stairs in our little entryway, just go straight up the stairs and I was about to go up there. And I just remember in that quiet moment, my mom was downstairs. I knew she was downstairs, but, you know, it was just a quiet moment. And I just remember being like, wow, I feel more myself than I've ever felt in my entire life. And I feel good. Like, I feel joy, even though, you know, maybe I'm not, like, going out and like doing like traveling the world or anything, you know. Right. I just felt like, whoa, I just feel joy. And I had never felt that ever in my entire life. And so I think the biggest fruit is that joy. And it makes me think of the scripture where I think it's Alma. So this is Alma as he's teaching the people in their cities and villages throughout the land. And verse 26, he says, "And now behold, I say unto you, my brethren, if ye have experienced a change of heart, and if ye have felt to sing the song of redeeming love, I would ask, can ye feel so now?" So yeah, whenever I ponder and remember that experience that I had on that late afternoon after high school classes one day, you know, and just coming home, I always think of that. I just think like his redeeming love, that fruit and that joy that that brings is so sweet and so desirable, and nothing matches it.
It's really cool. I have these are my mission scriptures. I have a note in the bottom here that I don't remember writing and don't know where I got this, but that says, "The world works from the outside in, the Lord works from the inside out. Christ changes men who change their environment." And I don't know, I just like that. I think sometimes I want to be changed really fast, and I want to have pure desires, and I want to like love God perfectly. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes I forget that it's something that starts within, and it's small, but like as we feed it and nourish that, it grows and can change us and enable us to seek change, because it's up to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it really is up to us on how we love him, how we worship him, who we become through him.
Yeah,
but it's up to us.
What are some of the fruits that you've seen from your experiences in knowing him?
First and foremost for me would be peace. I think more specifically peace that goes beyond understanding, right? In hard situations and hard times and confusing circumstances, there's always peace in Christ. There's always refuge in him. There's always, I think if I'm worried about myself or who I am, or if I'm doing the right things, when I focused on who he says I am and who he knows me to be, I think I feel more loved and accepted and valued and whole with him, which I'm really grateful for.
Yeah.
So
love that.
Okay, let's hop to the next one. So the next question that he asks was the Mark 10:36, "What would ye that I should do for you?"
I think this is just interesting how James and John come to the master and they say, "Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire." And then the Lord says, "What would ye that I should do for you?" Like, I just like that. So he's, they just went to him, you know, and he says, "Tell me.
Hit me." Yeah. Yeah. And then he uses their desire to teach them. I think that's like also cool. Okay, Heather. Christ, we're sitting right there. And he was like, "Heather, what can I do for you?" What do you think you'd say? Like, what do you think would be one of those first things?
I think I'd ask for a hug first. All in all, I would ask, wow. My thoughts just kind of go to President Nelson saying, like, inviting us to be confident in the presence of God now. And that just kind of makes me think of this. So, Fiery, if you were right next to me, if I asked him a question, something that I am wanting and needing, it would be for his strength. I think it, like, is a hard question because I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so many things to ask him. Am I going to ask him the right question, you know? But, like, in this current moment where I'm at right now, I've been really pondering on the strength of God and in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it, I actually don't even know who's talking. Is it Paul? So Paul is talking, and in verse 9, the Lord says to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then Paul says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And so I just think of like all the things that, of all my like heart's desires, and I just would, I think I would ask him for just his strength to do everything and all his desires that he has for me and his will and my weaknesses, that I can trust in his grace more, and in my weaknesses, like work on those weaknesses, work on not burying my talents, and but rather like digging them up and then using them. I don't know. Those are the things that have been on my mind recently. Yeah. So I'd say for his strength to do his will, to love others and serve others more perfectly. And I think when I say perfectly, I mean more wholly and intentionally. I don't know if you've heard this before, and if anyone else has heard this out there before, but there's this kind of concept that when Christ says, "Be therefore perfect," or when, you know, we're talking the gospel about like being perfect or perfectly, whatever, often it's actually referred more to being whole or complete and not necessarily doing something like perfect, right? Just yeah. doing it whole and complete.
Yeah.
And so being made perfect in him is being made whole and complete. And so I think when I say like being able to serve, love him and others more perfectly, it's like more wholly and more intentionally and more completely.
I love that. And here in even in verse 10 where it says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Just that idea that, yeah, on our own, we're not much. Like, I hate to say it, we can't do much.
No.
But the good news is that with him, made perfect in him, made whole in him, we are endowed with his strength and his power and his goodness and his light. Mm-hmm. And it's really special. I was scrolling on Pinterest the other day.
Yes.
And there's this thing that was in like big bold letters, and it said, "Ask for more. The universe isn't on a budget." And I love that, but I'm changing the universe to Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
I think often we're scared to ask for things. We're scared to ask for more. But there's no budget. There's no maximum allowance of blessings or light or involvement or peace or strength, right?
Yeah.
I think sometimes Christ can feel like a foreign concept. Like, there are times of intimacy and mm-hmm. you can be close, but I think it can be hard to make that mind shift of he's here now. And I love that you brought up the President Nelson quote of, like, you have that relationship now. You have the opportunity now. You can ask him now. You can be with him now. You can talk to him today. And it doesn't, it might not be exactly what you had in mind if he were sitting next to you, but there is that same connection, there is that same desire, there is that same willingness on his end to answer our pleas. That's really powerful to remember too.
Yeah, I meant like literally Heavenly Father sent his son for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
The whole purpose was for us.
Okay, we're going to move on to the last one. So I actually want to read these verses. It's John 13, 5 through 13. And this is when Christ is washing the disciples' feet. I can read 5 through 9 if you want to do 10 through 13. Does that work?
Yeah.
Perfect. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am.
Oh, I'm just going to read that last one too. 14, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Heather, I'm going to ask you, what do you think the Lord is trying to teach you through some of the gifts that he is giving you in this season of your life right now? I'll let you ponder for a sec. I just like that he acts, he serves, he loves, he carries himself well, and he knows that they'll learn from his example. He knows that they'll pick up on why he does what he does, and when they don't, he says, okay, let's pay attention, right? I think that's cool that he knows that we'll learn from him, that we'll obey him, that we'll seek to do as he does. I think that's cool.
Yeah. He knows that we just need a little hand sometimes.
A little hand.
I feel like I'm not the best at acknowledging my gifts and my strengths. But with that being said, I feel like what he's trying to teach me is the principle and the truth, eternal truth taught in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Jesus Christ. So I think he's trying to teach me, like, I honestly feel like some of the gifts he's been giving me are my weaknesses recently. And I've been really just like pondering and thinking about my weaknesses and about his grace, his strength, like I've already kind of mentioned, right? And so I feel like he's just really trying to teach me, like take my arm and hold on to it, like let's go, like, yeah, you can do all things through me. I feel like that's something he's really trying to teach me, and then to have patience and trust in the process, that it's not all going to be right immediately, right away, but just like I can do all things through him, the creator of this earth and in these universes, this universe, right? Like,
yeah,
I can do all things through him, and to just believe in him. I think those are some things that he's trying to teach me right now.
It's really cool. I was having a conversation the other day, and we talked about faith for miracles to be manifest in our lives, faith to recognize those miracles and know that they're from God, and then faith to move forward, to do his will, to be a disciple of him. And I just like that when you see a gift from God, when you see a tender mercy in your day, when you see his hand in something, whether big or small, I think it's important to recognize that that's a manifestation of faith. That's a manifestation of your desire to be one with him. And I think that's really cool that, you know, you could have these things happen in your life that might feel like weaknesses, or I've had things happen that feel like total failure sometimes. But when you look at it through the lens of the gospel, with remembering your Savior and your relationship with your Father, it becomes so much more, knowing that if we trust God and if we have faith, like, miracles will be manifest and we will see Him and we will be able to move forward and act in faith and act kind of with Him by our side. I think that's a really powerful principle to know that, like, we need Him, we so need Him, and He is there.
Mm-hmm.
I love verse 9, where He says, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I don't know, today was kind of a day for me. Today was not an easy day. And that sentence has been on my mind all day long. Not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And I just know that He delivers. I'm talking a lot, but one of my friends, Piper, she always talks about deliverance and abundance. Mm. If you look, you are either being delivered and carried and helped through some of the hardest things, or there is an abundance of His Spirit, of His goodness, of His light, of His joy. And sometimes it's both, and sometimes it might just be one, but He always is present.
In what ways, like, in your life, do you let, like, at times, you know, sometimes we're like Peter, where we're like, no, like, we're, like, I need to wash your feet, Lord, right? But in what ways and in what experiences throughout your life have you intentionally tried to let Christ wash your feet and minister to you?
This past year has just been really rocky for me. There's just been a lot of hard things that have come up, and just mental health struggles and tearing my ACL. That was a big one where I kind of had to set my pride aside and let people help me shower and wash my hair and bring me dinner. And I don't know, that, like, I just don't love needing a lot of things. Yeah. And so that was just, I don't know, I feel like I've had a lot of experiences this year where I've just needed other people. But what's been so special is the relationships that have come from that. Some of the friendships and mentors and family relationships have totally blossomed and grown in ways that I don't think they would have otherwise. And that was really special for me to kind of have to trust God, and to need help and to need a little bit of extra oomph. But in the process, like, I've seen so much good, and I have such a strong testimony that the Lord places people in our lives so intentionally and specifically, that the people that are around you, the people who are in your classes, who you work with, who you live with, who your friends are, who your friends' friends are, who your teachers are, they're intentionally, you have things to learn, and you have people that will help you, and you also have people that need your help too. I think there's a little bit of a balance there of, because He washes their feet and then He says, okay, I've washed your feet, now you're gonna go wash others' feet. And so I think this year has kind of instilled in me, first of all, a gratitude. I'm so grateful for the people and things that I've been blessed with. And it makes me want to see other people and to recognize when someone needs a hug, or recognize when someone needs a friend or I don't know. I just think people are everything. And the Lord places us with each other. Because he knows that we can bless and succor and lift and build and change together, come together.
I like to call it human orbiting. Just like how you put the planets into orbit, he puts us into orbit as well throughout each other's lives and in different moments. I guess maybe just like last couple of comments based on what you just said is like, I received a priesthood blessing a couple months ago by my older brother, and in it, something that I was told is that the Lord is being very particular with certain experiences and people in my life. And I thought that was a really interesting word he used. Like he didn't say like specific or special, he said particular. And just like how he knows every single particle and atom within this whole earth, he's being so particular about how things are going. And even with our own agency, that's something that I'll forever be questioning. How does he do this with our own agency, right? Like he's like, use your agency, do that, like, you know, be an agent unto yourself. And so like, okay, we're agents unto ourselves and we make our own decisions, right? And yet he still is, through his infinite wisdom and power, he still somehow finds ways to bring us together.
Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing.
It's really special. I like to end every episode with the same question. How have you come to know Christ and trust that he is involved in your life? How do you know he lives?
I know he lives, and I've come to know him. Honestly, I just want to say, like, because of everything he's done, not only when he walked on this earth and this planet, and when he went through that anguish, like, what's the word I'm looking for? The pain and anguish that he went through in the Garden of Gethsemane and then on the cross, and then he was risen 3 days later. All those things, and then before that and to this moment now. And so I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, everything that he's done, he always comes after me when I'm that one lost sheep. And so I just feel like I know that he lives because of the moments that I've prayed and I have felt that peace, like you said, that passes all understanding, and I have felt joy. And then we have a friend, Will Newby, who once said in a testimony he shared that he sees and he knows Jesus Christ through the faces of people around him. And that's also another way I know that Jesus Christ lives, is through people like you and people like my mom and close family and friends. And it's kind of like what you said, sometimes it's not like a specific moment, but it's like so many that just like build up to it, and then you're just like, I know he lives. And I think to sum this all up, through the Comforter as well, the Holy Ghost testifies of all truth, and he literally cannot not testify of truth. Like if there's truth, like, he'll testify of it, you know? And I feel like that's also a big way that I have come to know that Jesus Christ lives, is involved in my life because of the gift of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. In moments when I'm reading my Book of Mormon, and as I read, I have this feeling, like the other day, you know, I was kind of saying how I hadn't been like reading my scriptures a whole lot, you know, and I felt like I wasn't doing like all the things that like are good to be doing, right? But I opened up the Book of Mormon just to like a random page. I wasn't even like anywhere in specific. And as I opened it, I just could feel like this peace and this understanding and knowledge that these things were true and that Jesus Christ lives. And so I'd say I've come to know him through the Holy Ghost and through every moment I've taken to pray and spend time in his word and be with people that I see his face in them.
Yeah, I just want to say that I love the Lord, and I know that he is so aware and so involved that he desires to love and lift and bless you. You've taught me so much about discipleship and joy in the gospel, and I just hearty amen to Heather's testimony and goodness.